You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Busy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
The bosses up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Punt Podcast. Good to have your company here on this Thursday morning. Dave Kellner in the studio. We'll hear from Derek McGovern on the live televised Premier League matches very shortly. Alex Dunn joins us to discuss those four games as well. And we have Mark Ogden, the senior football writer for ESPN. We'll talk player power, Paul Pogba versus Jose Mourinho, and Declan Rice versus the whole of West Ham United. That's coming up on the podcast a little bit later on. Sam Norris will give us a tip in Europe as well, and we'll hear from Gav Puchlowski, Pete Farris and Al Ross on the Football League action. But first, a warm welcome to Derek McGovern. Derek, how are you, sir?
Yes, very good. Very good, Dave. I'm still marvelling at that wonder goal from Eden Hazard at Anfield last night. Probably the greatest goal I've ever vomited at.
Were you there, Derek?
No, I was. I wasn't there last night. I expected it to be a bit of a non-event with, you know, 200 strength teams, but it was anything but. A great game, and then just a wonderful goal from an unbelievably good player.
He is incredible, Eden Hazard. And join us in the studio here, Alex Dunn. It's good to see your happy, smiling face on a Thursday morning.
I sense sarcasm there, Dave, but it's good to be here anyway.
And we'll have a few words from Andy Excel, who is enduring physio this Thursday morning.
So he's having a massage. There's a difference.
There is a difference.
It will be a massage. Actually, your massage. I was actually thinking about massage the other day. What, you pay money. You pay good money for a massage, and they rub every part of your body apart from the part you want rubbing. why do we pay for that?
Derek, I won't say what you, your utterance after I said that we were going to hear from Andy Excel on this podcast with his thoughts this weekend. We'll leave that one for off-air. Let's get stuck into this week then. We've got four games to look at on the podcast. Let's start with West Ham versus Manchester United, which is a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday afternoon. The latest betting, West Ham are 16-5 to win the game. The draw 13-5. Manchester United 88-100. You do well to turn your nose up at that, Alex Dunn. Derek had a few choice words about those particular prices last week, but that's the price on the website. Manchester United to win by two or more was 21-10. That's been enhanced to 5-2. And if you fancy an upset, Andre Yarmolenko to score and West Ham to win, that was 7-1. That's been enhanced to 9-1 on the website and on the app. We'll talk more, Derek, about the problems with Manchester United with Mark Ogden later on, but clinging on to a point at home to Wolves isn't exactly what the fans will have expected when Jose Mourinho took command.
No, and of course lost in midweek in the League Cup too. I mean, times have really changed at United. They had a player sent off in a home match and had 8 penalties awarded against them in the same game. Never have happened under Fergie. That. I can't believe the odds for this. I really can't. West Ham, 16-5, over 3-1. To beat the United side whose players are on the verge of mutiny. I'm sorry, that's just an absolutely unbelievable. You won't find, I'm guaranteeing you now, you won't find a better bet all season long than this one. If West Ham don't win this, I'm going to consider giving up gambling, and I know that's the last thing you want to hear. when I say you, I mean Mr. William Hill, of course. You.
Absolutely.
I think the fine. And, you know, let's forget a minute about the Pogba Mourinho incident, because we're going to talk about that a bit later. But he threw Phil Jones and Eric Bailly under the bus with his comments during the week.
He was right, though, wasn't he, Derek, as well?
Well, I don't, luckily for him, the bus was parked. I mean, it was. He tried to throw the keeper Romero under the bus too, but it went under him. You know, he might have been right about Jones, but you don't say that publicly. You don't. He's basically saying, Phil Jones, he's a professional footballer, he can't take a pen. That's basically what he's saying. What happens if Jones has to take another one and the penalty shoots out? Imagine like any confidence he would have had gone. You don't say that. You just do not say that kind of thing. And I think Pogba, he's probably the biggest issue, but there's numerous other ones going on behind the scenes there. And I cannot believe that United are odds on to beat a West Ham side that are going to do nothing but climb the table. If West Ham had beaten Chelsea last weekend, they should have done with that last late Yarmolenko chance. Would they have been 16-5 this weekend? I don't think so. It's an unbelievable bet.
Things are looking up for West Ham. They dismantled Macclesfield on Wednesday night as well, winning that game in the Carabao Cup 8-0. If you're looking for a goal scorer, by the way, and you fancy United to win this game, Romelu Lukaku is a 21-20 to score any time. He's got 11 in his last 11 against West Ham in all competitions as well. So he could be worth a look at odds against. Alex, your views on this?
I sort of don't like West Ham, but then you look at that price and you just think, crikey, I can't leave that alone, really. Man, you shouldn't be odds on for this. Absolutely no way. And West Ham have actually looked fair in the last few games, having looked like they were on the verge of crisis themselves. And they're always one game away from another crisis, aren't they, West Ham? But I think that you can't back Man U at that price. Look at their last two results as standalone pieces. Home to Wolves, home to Derby. They've not beaten either of them.
Yeah.
What makes you think they're going to go away and perform better against a side in West Ham who are on the up? Yarmolenko's impressed me. Arnautovic was missing last weekend, but they look a little bit better. You'll be pleased about this, Dave, since Jack Wilshere has got injured again. Because they've actually got a bit of steel in the middle of the park now. I don't mind West Ham at the price. It wouldn't surprise me, firstly, if he's dropped Paul Pogba. But if he starts, wouldn't surprise me if he scores. He's that kind of player. He's sort of, it's like water off a duck's back to him. He doesn't care. But he's talented enough to score. He'd probably take penalties.
Well, there's no downside for Paul Pogba, is there?
No.
Really?
No. The worst case scenario for him is he ends up in Barcelona. It's not bad, is it? it's a really, really odd one. But like Derek said, you're going to talk about that a little bit later on. Michael Oliver's in charge of this one, which tempers enthusiasm a little bit, because I was going to put up a cards bet. I think it could be quite feisty. I will still mention, second half, over three cards is 27-10.
Okay.
It's a big price. It'll give you a bit of interest for the second half of the game. But Oliver being in charge, he's one of the better refs, if not the best ref that we've got in the Premier League. And I don't think he'll be chucking them out willy-nilly like other refs maybe would. So that's something to maybe consider, or maybe an in-play bet on cards if there is a couple in the first half. I think it could get quite feisty, because they're two sides that don't mind a challenge from time to time. But yeah, for all that I can see Man U winning this, the price of it is just horrendous. So it's got to be West Ham as well.
Okay,
that card bet, does it bring, it brings in yellow cards and red cards and Ashley Young's equity card, does it?
let's move on to Chelsea versus Liverpool at Stamford Bridge, Saturday 5:30. This one, Chelsea 7-4, the draw 5-2, Liverpool in the betting at 6-4. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win is bound to be popular. 15-4, enhanced to 9-2. And if you fancy Eden Hazard and Mohamed Salah both to score, that was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 11-2. Does that game in midweek, Alex, affect your thinking for this one? It's not altered the betting that much. Chelsea have been trimmed ever so slightly in the market following that result on Wednesday night. And I must admit, when I saw these prices, I was slightly surprised Liverpool were so skinny going away to Chelsea, favourites for the match, given Chelsea's start to the season as well as Liverpool's.
Yeah, they both look really good so far. I don't think what happened in midweek will have any bearing, really, because they're basically two different sides that are meeting now. I mean, you've got to factor in.
They were stronger than I thought they were going to be, though. That lineup on Wednesday night for both Liverpool and Chelsea did feature some fringe players, but some of the top stars still featured in those starting 11s.
When Liverpool play Alberto Moreno, that is already conceding a goal handicap in a game. So you can't factor that in. You've got to say, right, ignore that. And Liverpool defensively have been really good so far this season. I think they've only conceded twice. One of them was a very late goal against Spurs, and the other one was when Alisson decided to do pirouettes in the box against Leicester. So defensively, they've been very solid. Chelsea have been impressive under Sarri, but Hazard has just been absolutely unbelievable. To think he didn't even start the season in the team because of his World Cup exploits, and he was gradually integrated, and he's had such an effect on well, every single Chelsea game. He's probably the best player in the world right now in terms of recent form. I cannot see him. I can't see Liverpool being able to keep him quiet, put it that way. So I think Chelsea could nick this, to be honest. I think it'll be fairly low scoring. I think in these games it can explode into action. I think with this one, you've got two managers that will try and keep it tight for as long as possible. Klopp, it'll probably be the first one to blink and maybe try and make an attacking move. I think Chelsea might nick it. I think Hazard will score. But I don't mind that Hazard and Salah bet, I suppose, if you are... I mean, you look at that, and it would have landed most of the time last season. You think of the form Hazard's in this season, it's not bad. But I'll go with Chelsea to win, Hazard to score.
OK, that's available at 9-2 on the enhancements here with William Hill. And Andy XL, by the way, he's emailed his thoughts, and I won't go through all of them, but he fancies Chelsea pretty strongly in that match, questioning when the last time Liverpool started favourites away at Stamford Bridge was, and it might have never happened, Derek.
Yeah, probably. They got beat 1-0 there last season, didn't they? But I think they outplayed Chelsea that day. Then they had to go and win, I think, against Brighton on the last day to qualify for Europe. You started off this day asking whether that match will have any, is a pointer. You know, the Carabao Cup game is a pointer to this game. Well, it's like saying a good guide to an England match against Germany is escape to victory. Sorry, I'm certainly a better guide than anything you'll hear on here, by the way. A year ago, Leicester beat Liverpool in the second round of the League Cup on a Wednesday. 3 days later, Liverpool went to Leicester and won. So, you know, that tells you one thing. I prefer Liverpool to be playing Leicester this weekend. I can't believe the Reds are so short. I really can't. I don't think they deserve to be favourites. Yeah, they've had an unblemished start in the Premier League, won the first five or whatever. But they haven't hit the heights in those games. Maybe one game against West Ham on the opening day, they played like the Liverpool I know. I think they've been a bit under par, to be honest. Certainly under par against Chelsea in midweek. I'm torn about this game. Liverpool are not a bet. If someone put a gun to my head, Liverpool would be the last bet I would have because they don't deserve to be favourites. But Chelsea, Chelsea are no attractive bet either. I can see a draw. I can see it all over a draw. It would be a result but neither side would be particularly down about. I'm going to go for the draw here, but it's a tough one to call, but none of the prices are setting my pulse racing.
That's available at 5-2, the draw. The market I like here, I think Liverpool, they have a tendency, as we've seen throughout the course of this Premier League season and last Premier League season, to start very quickly. No side has got more first-half goals than Liverpool in the Premier League this season. I think he'll set them up with that high intensity. I think if Liverpool are to win this game, they need to be leading at half-time. It's 9-5 for Liverpool to be ahead after 45 minutes, which is the market that I quite like the look of, Alex.
I don't mind that. I think one key point here as well for Chelsea is that they've got two strikers who don't score goals. Morata played in midweek. Giroud will probably come back into the side here. Hazard's been bigging him up, saying he's the best target man in the world. But he doesn't score goals. It puts an immense amount of pressure on the likes of Willian and Hazard to actually perform.
Yeah,
it's a really odd situation to think that there's a side who could potentially be challenging for the title, or at least the second or third position, who have a striker who could feasibly score less than 10 goals this season.
Yeah,
that's probably right. Yeah, you're right. And one other point, I just might about the game in midweek, by the way. Is Shaqiri becoming Jurgen Klopp's Luke Shaw for Mourinho? I mean, he was taken off at half-time last weekend after having a blinder in the first half, and then at the final whistle on Wednesday night, he was getting torn a strip off by the manager, even though he looked to me like Liverpool's best player. So is he... I'd like to know what's going on there.
Yeah, it's a bizarre situation because I thought Klopp took him off and put his arm around his shoulder and said, I got this wrong tactically, and that's why we've subbed you after 45 minutes to bring Milner on, because even though they were winning that game 3-0 at half-time, Derek, they were getting cut apart through the middle, weren't they, by Southampton?
Yeah, possibly. I can understand the logic of that one. But on Wednesday night, Klopp seemed to be really angry with him. And
right, okay.
He's Liverpool's best player. I just don't understand it.
The last round of La Liga fixtures saw both Real Madrid and Barcelona lose on the same day for the first time since 2015. With that in mind, Atletico Madrid may smell blood and should be well up for their meeting with their city neighbours Real on Saturday night. The Madrid derby has been a kind fixture to Atleti in recent times, and they haven't lost to Real in the last four meetings in all competitions, and the last time Los Blancos beat them in a La Liga fixture was back in 2016. The two last bumped heads in the UEFA Super Cup, a match that saw Atleti prevail 4-2 after extra time as the sides finished level in 90 minutes. That's also happened in their last three meetings between the sides, so a draw at 5-2 doesn't look the worst bet in the world here. Mr. Cristiano Ronaldo is responsible for four of Real's last seven goals against Atleti, and the Real attack is obviously worse off without him. So it might be worth chancing Atletico to get something from this one, with Real taking far too much out of the betting here at 11-10. I think Atletico can kick Real when they're down, and I play them draw no bet at 6-4 as the European nap this weekend.
Cardiff versus Burnley is the Sunday 4 o'clock kickoff. Only one game televised on Sunday this week. Cardiff are 31-20 to win it. The draw is 2-1 with Burnley in the betting at 21-10. Cardiff to win and three or more goals in the game was 17-5. That's been enhanced to 4-1. And if you think Burnley are going to score in both halves, that was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. Don't forget as well, this game is hashtag your odds. So if there's a bet that you like the look of that's not priced up, do tweet at William Hill using that hashtag your odds. And the traders will release that on the William Hill website and on the app as well. Derek, Cardiff City at a second bottom. It doesn't actually seem to be bothering Neil Warnock at the moment. He's got this happy-go-lucky, we're just here for the ride attitude at the moment. I just wonder whether that's filtering through to the players, because last weekend they rolled over and had their tummies tickled against Manchester City, and that was their fourth defeat in a row now. And I'm sure at one moment he's going to just snap Neil Warnock. I think it's coming.
He will do. He will. That's an absolute certainty because he's that kind of guy. I mean, his tactics are clearly not working. And you've got to say that's a big surprise because I wasn't aware he had any. I mean, he's a manager. He's a dinosaur of a manager. He's got no business being in the Premier League. You could argue the same about Cardiff. And Burnley showed last week what they can do when they don't have the Europa League buggering them around. That was a fantastic result for them last week against Bournemouth. Bournemouth, you know, were doing well before them. Burnley give them a 4-0 hiding. And look at these odds here. I mean, Jesus, Burnley. I look at these prices. Burnley is what I like to call an Eamon Holmes kind of bet. Gets bigger every time you look at it. It's just an unbelievable bet here, and I think it's almost
that's new material, that Derek, is it?
It's almost as good as West Ham at over 3-1. There's some great pickings this weekend. I won't be here next week. I'll be in Barbados next weekend.
At Burnley, the selection confident pick for Derek. They picked up their first win of the season at home against Bournemouth last weekend, and they won't be overly concerned with being knocked out of the Carabao Cup by Burton on Tuesday night. Cardiff are now winless in their last 10 Premier League games. They lost the last three by an aggregate scoreline of 12-3. This is a difficult run for Cardiff at the moment.
I'll tell you what this is, Dave. This is a bloody good advert for golf. That's what it is. It's going to drive me to watch the Ryder Cup this game. I mean, Sky aren't stupid, are they?
No.
I mean, to pick one game on they've been bigging the Ryder Cup up for months, and they go, oh, we've got football as well. What should we do? I know. Let's stick that championship game on. I mean, it's going to be dreadful. I can't really add anything to what Derek said. Burnley have to be the bet. Cardiff are rank. If you listened to me on a podcast the other week, then the back Cardiff to lose to nil and have a saver on Sol Bamba anytime actually did land. So again, if you are backing Burnley to win to nil, have a little saver on Sol Bamba. I don't think he started last week, actually.
No, he's 9-1 to score anytime this weekend.
He's the one they aim for set pieces. That's their best chance of scoring.
Yeah.
One bet that I do like is we've got stats trebles on the website as well. Under 2.5 goals, under 10 corners, under 4 cards, 24-5. Don't watch it. God, don't watch it. But put it on and then hopefully you'll win a bit of money afterwards. But yeah, this is it's uninspiring, Dave, to say the least.
Who wants a crap quiz question?
Oh, yes, please.
Here we go. Ashley Barnes got 2 goals against Bournemouth last weekend. That took him ahead of which player as the second highest Austrian goal scorer in Premier League history? Marko Arnautovic is top with 36. Who was second before Ashley Barnes went past him last weekend? There's a question for you.
Austrian?
Austrian.
Oh, I think I might know.
Oh, do you?
Is it Thomas Hitzlsperger?
No, it's not.
Oh.
It's not. I'll reveal the answer at the end of the podcast.
Is it? He's German. Ah, well, there won't be go. Him then.
That's the only mark against his name. I'll reveal that answer at the end of the podcast if neither of you two chaps get it by the time we go through this last match, which is Bournemouth versus Crystal Palace. Monday night fixture, 8 p.m. kickoff. Bournemouth are 5-4. The draw 12-5. Crystal Palace are in the betting at 11-5. Enhancements, Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win was 11-4. That's been enhanced to 3-1. Bournemouth to win by 2 or more was 3-1. That's been boosted out to 7-2. As ever, a full range of markets on the William Hill website. Over 300 markets on at this fixture. And Alex, Bournemouth have to bounce back from a real shellacking at Turf Moor last weekend. And even though they beat Blackburn in midweek, that will be, I think, still fresh in the memory. Palace could only manage a draw at home against Newcastle as well. So a couple of teams that maybe come into this with a tinge of disappointment.
Yeah, I think this will be quite entertaining, though. Bournemouth are that kind of free-flowing side that are good to watch. Because, yeah, they'll let a few in, but they'll score a few as well, at home in particular. I don't think Palace should be as big as 11-5 in this game. They're a decent side. I want to talk about Wilfried Zaha, because he's one heck of a talent. But, God, he can whinge. I mean, I know that he gets kicked around a fair bit, but he doesn't get decisions because he started his career diving a lot. And now people are sort of wised up to it and gone, well, that could be a dive, I'm not so sure. Look, he's a talented player, but everything that Palace do goes through him. Newcastle countered that by playing Yedlin and Richie almost doubling up on him every time he got the ball.
Yep.
As a result, that game finished 0-0. I don't think it'll happen here because I don't think Bournemouth will double up on him. I think they'll sort of let him do his own thing and say, right, we'll outscore you at the other end. So I go overs on the goals. BTS is 8-13 in this. But one player I really, really like is Josh King. I think he's really underrated. And he takes penalties as well, which is key. He's 6-1 to score first in this game, 19-10 any time. That 19-10 for me is standout. I think that's by far and away the best bet in the game.
Over 2.5 goals is 8-11. Over 3.5 goals in the betting at 2-1. Wilfried Zaha is 17-10 to score any time. He's scored in all three of Palace's away games in the league so far this season. Another man to look for in the goal scorer markets as well as Josh King is Ryan Fraser. He's 13-5 to score any time. He has 4 in his last 4 at the Vitality Stadium. He's got 1 assist in that spell as well. So Ryan Fraser at 13-5 could be worth a look in the goal scorer markets. Derek, what's your view on this Monday night fixture?
Yeah, Ryan Fraser got the got my vote as well. I think he's a very underrated player, and he took my eye last season on a number of occasions, and he doesn't play like Frank Lampard, but his timing in the box coming up is fantastic. And he scored more goals than Mo Salah this season. So, you know, that says everything. 13-5 is just too big. I can't believe that I'm going to go for overs on the goals here as well when there's a match involving a Roy Hodgson team. But both matches finished 2-2 last season between these two. Palace won 2-0 here the season before. So, you know, I wouldn't put anyone else backing them because already this season, they've won at Huddersfield, Swansea, West Brom and Fulham. You know, you wouldn't say Bournemouth are a whole heap better than those opponents. I can't believe it's going to be a high-scoring game, this. Bournemouth, as you say, just being mullered by Burnley, so maybe they'll be a little bit less gung-ho. But you can see goals here. It's a tough one to call this, but I'm going to go for the overs, over 2.5 goals. 8-11, I think you said, Dave.
Yeah, and 2-1 if you fancy being a little bit more adventurous and going for over 3.5 in the match. Naps then, chaps. Andy Excel has sent a nap in, Alex Dunn.
Yes.
So you can have a token nap. So we'll put together a little fourfold this weekend.
I'd say Josh King anytime, 19-10.
Okay, Josh King at any time at 19-10 for Alex. Derek, what's your nap?
Well, a lot of good rich pickings here. West Ham are almost it, 16-5 to beat Man United. Burnley, 21-10 to beat Cardiff. That's, you know, fighting for first place too. But I'm going to go instead for Fulham, 16-5 to win at Everton. Go about 5-3, put your bet on, 5-5, go and collect.
You know what? I've got a few now then, because I thought you were bound to go for the Hammers, but that was Andy Excel's first choice, so I'll put West Ham in for him at 16-5, and I might go with Burnley to beat Cardiff now. I'm torn between that and Wolves -1 at home to Southampton at 11-5. What do you think?
Greedy. Stop being greedy.
Yeah,
Dave.
But odds on Wolves 5-6, I'd rather boost that price to 11-5. You know what? I'm going to be greedy. I'm going to go Burnley or Wolves? I'm going to go Wolves minus one as my bet. Jumping on that bandwagon. 11 to 5, Wolves minus one. So a fourfold this weekend. Josh King anytime, 19 to 10. Fulham at 16 to 5. West Ham at 16 to 5. Wolves minus one at 11 to 5. A whopping 162 to 1. Ooh. On that fourfold. How about that?
Can't lose,
listeners.
Can't
cannot
lose.
Be beaten. Yeah. Alex, thank
I
you.
I can't see that losing.
Alex, thank you for your company.
Thank you.
Derek's going to stay with us. We're going to speak to Mark Ogden after this.
Yeah.
After this.
What a tit.
There are 760 games in the Premier League this season. You'll be able to watch some of them on Sky, some on BT. You can listen to others on BBC Five Live and Talk Sport. But no one covers more live Premier League games than us. You won't miss a kick or a tip here this season on In Play Radio.
Now, as promised, it's a warm welcome along to ESPN's senior football writer Mark Ogden is here to join us and discuss Paul Pogba, Declan Rice, Jose Mourinho, Manchester United, a whole host of topics to discuss. First of all, a warm welcome, Mark. Good to have you on the podcast.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. You?
All good, yeah. Apart from Manchester United and Paul Pogba dominating my life this week.
It seems like every single week on this podcast we're talking about the hot topics in the world of football, Mark, and Pogba and Mourinho pop up every single week. It's a story that seems to not be concluding anytime soon.
No, I mean, it's becoming quite tedious as well. I mean, it's great copy for a journalist, but in terms of actually going anywhere, it's not, because it's just too big personalities that want centre stage, and I think that it's become now a battle between the two of them to get the fans on side. What Pogba said at the weekend about we should be attacking, attack, 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 is definitely a play to the fans, because that's what they want. But Mourinho, on the other hand, has been praising the fans for their reaction after they've debated on Tottenham. It's just sad, really, that two big high profile figures at Man United are fighting about themselves rather than the club. So, yeah, you're right, it's September, it's nearly October, so it can't end anytime soon, because the soonest it can end is January when the transfer window opens. But I think that a lot of people are getting a bit carried away with themselves, suggesting that Barcelona will come in and offer whatever it takes to get Pogba out of the club, because I don't think Barcelona need him, to be honest. They've got Ivan Rakitic, they've got Busquets, they signed Vidal from Bayern Munich recently, they got Philippe Coutinho. It just doesn't stack up for me. So it feels like United are stuck with Pogba and Mourinho stuck with him. But are they stuck with Mourinho? That's the question. Whether Mourinho lasts, I don't know if he wants to last. That's for me. I'm not sure he's given the signs that he wants to be there long term. I think he seems to be doing all he can to get out of the club.
This is just what we expect from Jose Mourinho, though, isn't it, Mark?
Well, yeah, I mean, if we kind of trace back what happened his last year at Chelsea, that last season, it's almost the same, isn't it? It starts with a bad summer, a bad pre-season. He moans about a lot of things. Back then, he had the fallout with the physio, the doctor at Chelsea. This time, he was having a go at his boss, basically, Ed Woodward, for lack of transfers coming in. Then he starts with his players. It was Eden Hazard at Chelsea, and it's Paul Pogba at United. And the results, obviously, are falling by the wayside. So it just seems to be following the same pattern at Stamford Bridge. And even then, that seemed to take weeks and months to resolve itself until Chelsea finally sacked him in December. But it could have gone in October, November, December time. So looking at it from afar, you never know what happens with the boardrooms until it happens. But I just think that this is going to reach an inevitable conclusion where Mourinho will leave United before the season's out.
And Derek, Mourinho tried to convince the world that it was the journalists that had an agenda against Mourinho and Pogba and was creating this animosity, but I think everyone's seen that video that was broadcast yesterday that's gone viral now, that there's definitely something between the pair, and I don't know how it gets resolved at this juncture, Derek.
No, it's just two people who clearly can't stand the sight of each other and who've got little prospect of rebuilding their relationship. I mean, some people call that a shame. I call it a marriage. there's only one winner in this dispute, Liverpool fans. It's just fantastic as a Liverpool fan to sit and watch. They're like two naughty siblings trying to stir up their parents most, who will make their parents break first, snap first. I think the only thing less likely than the two of them to be at Old Trafford come the end of the season is silverware. Mourinho will go because, you know, he's playing football that the fans hate. Now, it would be one thing if it was successful football like it was at Chelsea. They were winning games. But they're playing crap and losing. So why would United want to keep him? They won't. Pogba can't go before January. He will go. The fact that he's carrying on like he does makes... I agree with what Mark says. It makes you wonder why Barcelona would want him, because he certainly isn't playing well enough to play for him right now. But the way he's carrying on like a man who knows he's got an exit strategy, who knows that Barcelona or Real Madrid want him. So I think he will go in January. Will Marina go before? And if pushed, I would say yes.
Okay, maybe Paul Pogba and Jose Mourinho out of Manchester United come the start of next season, definitely. Do you think either party is in the right, Mark? Final question on this.
No, I think they're both, it's a bit of a vanity show. I think both are pursuing their own agenda. I think, you know, you could say that a manager has to lay down the law, but not in the manner he did on Tuesday or Wednesday by, you know, this scene at the training ground. That was just for the cameras. I mean, that isn't the way to behave. And, you know, people will say, well, you've always got to back the manager. Look at what happened under Sir Alex Ferguson when Beckham left, Van Nistelrooy left and Roy Keane left. Well, Ferguson was... He ran the club then and Man United was successful, so they could accommodate the loss of a star player because it was such a great team, a winning team. You know, Mourinho doesn't have that kind of strength or that longevity at United to play the same game, but equally, Pogba hasn't achieved anything like what Beckham and Van Nistelrooy and Keane achieved at Old Trafford. So he's not strong enough to come out and say we need to play a certain way. He's not done anything. You know, for me... He's talking a good game, but he's not playing one. I think the fans can see right through it that he's just trying to get them on side by saying this, that and the other. But I think they'd much rather see him dominate games and score goals and be the £8 to £9 million midfielder that he's supposed to be.
Another interesting story that emerged during the week is Declan Rice and his holdout at West Ham United. They've offered him £15,000 a week for a player that's played, I think, 36 times for the first team. But he's turned that down. He's holding out for £30,000 a week. What's your reading of that situation, Mark? Is it Rice's prerogative to demand more money given how he's playing, or are the club right to try and keep that wage down for a youngster who's progressing?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'll insert the rider that footballers earn crazy money, and fans of West Ham will be, you know, angry if I said that £15,000 a week wasn't enough for Declan Rice. But, you know, in the world of football, in the crazy world of football, it isn't. There'll be youth team players that the bigger clubs earning more than that. You know, that haven't even played the game. And Declan Rice is a player that could have an international future in England if he chooses England or the Republic of Ireland. He's one of their bright young prospects. And I think that West Ham are trying to keep him there on the cheap. And so he's got every right to hold out for more because, you know, West Ham have got a deal with the ground where it's not costing that much money. He's a player that could be there for 10 years if they handle him properly. If they're offering £15,000 a week, it's not enough to keep him. I'm not going to say it's insulting because it's not. But when you look at his contemporaries, what players of a similar stature are earning around the country, he's nowhere near. So I think that West Ham need to start acting like a big club that they say they are, which yeah. I'd be dancing about, and giving the money that he's due and that he would get elsewhere.
Pablo Zabaleta, I think, has helped Declan Rice's cause as well, Derek, because he's come out and said that West Ham need to do everything in their power to keep a player as talented as him, who is at the start of his career and will have big teams chasing him if he doesn't sign a new contract, which only has 12 months left as well. How do you view this situation, Derek?
Well, I'd say the contracts are absolutely unbelievably well good for players because you play great and you can demand more. Play crap and you still get the same. You're not going to get paid any less. 15K sounds like something you're paying a Jamie Oliver restaurant for a bowl of Declan Rice. I mean, it's a lot of money for a 19-year-old, but he looks a very good player. He's playing in the Premier League and holding his own. So, you know, you don't get paid 15K for that. You know, even 30K, you get them on the cheap. I noticed that Jamie Carragher jumped into his defence earlier this week. He was saying that if he was a foreign lad, a foreign player at that age, he'd be getting an awful lot more. It's almost as though the local lads are expected just to be happy to play for their club. But 15K is nothing. I mean, I think he needs that much to repair his barnet anyway, doesn't he?
Derek, I think you're on thin ice talking about hair on this podcast. Derek, thank you for your company on the podcast.
Pleasure.
Mark, thank you. Enjoy your weekend. Are you at a match this weekend?
Chelsea-Liverpool this weekend, so it's the big one. Chelsea back up last night's win and win again?
What are you expecting?
I think that Chelsea will win that. I just think that Eden Hazard on fire at the moment, isn't he, as we saw last night. And it could boil down to, you know, a superstar, Hazard or Salah making a difference. But I just think Chelsea beneath that first 11 have got a little bit more depth and a bit more now they've been there and done it. And they surprised a lot of people this season. And Chelsea away is a tough game. Although Liverpool, to be fair, have to back out Stamford Bridge, but I just think Chelsea might edge this one.
I know we get caught up in who's the best Premier League player at the moment, and we rely heavily on recent form when debating that. But Eden Hazard, he is the best right now, isn't he?
I think he's just shading Paul Pogba right now, Dave. No, he's had his shoulders at the moment. He's way out there, and it's great as well because he could have gone, I guess, to Real Madrid in the summer. I think he had a push for it. You know, it might have happened. So we're used to seeing the Premier League's best players eventually go to Spain. You know, Ronaldo, Gareth Bale, Thierry Henry. So the longer he stays in the Premier League, the better, because he's a superstar player. He's a great player.
Thank you, Mark. Enjoy Chelsea versus Liverpool at Stamford Bridge. Enjoy your weekend as well, Derek.
Pleasure, I will do, yeah.
We're going to finish this podcast by looking at the Football League in the company of Gav Pushlowski, Al Ross, but first, Pete Farries.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and for my Championship nap this week, I was very close to backing Middlesbrough. They're 6-5 away at Hull. Hull have lost 4 of their last 5 games, and while Borough have won just 2 of their last 5, they've had a couple of draws, one of which was understandable, and to be honest, they're playing well enough to suggest that odds against is good enough value. But my eye was turned, and my eye was turned towards over 2.5 goals again in the Preston game, this time taking on West Brom. Their games, as we know of late, have been overs country. 4-5-3-5-4 midweek against the aforementioned Middlesbrough. It is goal country Preston matches right now. West Brom's games, possibly skewed thanks to that massive goal game against QPR, means that West Brom have the highest per game goal ratio as a match whole in the Championship, 3.78 a game. And for me, even money is a ludicrous price for overs on the goals. So that is my nap, over 2.5 goals in the Preston-West Brom game in the Championship. I'll hand you over to Gav Pushlowski and his thoughts on League One.
When I reveal my nap in League One, Peterborough at 6-5 at home to Blackpool, you might think, well, that's glorious. Peterborough top of the table, 22 points. Blackpool in 8th, not even in the playoffs at the moment. Yes, I'll have Peterborough at 6-5, but there are a couple of buts in this one, but I still trust Peterborough to get the job done. First but for Peterborough is their away form is a lot better than their home form. They've won every single game on their travels, and Peterborough are scoring more goals away from home than at home. Peterborough not won at home in 2, a draw against Doncaster and a defeat against Portsmouth last time out. The other but is Blackpool unbeaten on their travels, and they've kept 4 consecutive clean sheets. They drew 0-0 at Wickham, Shrewsbury, Walsall before winning 1-0 away at Plymouth. A fun stat for Blackpool is they've had more players sent off away from home than goals scored. And Peterborough do tend to score on a regular basis at home. So I'm still trusting Peterborough to get the job done at 6-5. It could be 0-0 for a while. It could be a tight game. It could be Peterborough and unders. But to put it bluntly, Peterborough should be too strong against this Blackpool side. So they are my nap at 6-5 to win at home to Blackpool. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
If there's one thing that's better for a team than playing a midweek League Cup game at West Ham, it is not playing a midweek League Cup game at West Ham, particularly when you're Macclesfield, and that can distract from the fact you're bottom of League Two and playing a very quickly improving Forest Green Rovers side who've had a midweek off. Sorry, Macclesfield, I don't think you've got much of a chance this weekend. On Wednesday, 67 hours before they play Forest Green, Macclesfield ran out the first team against a much-changed West Ham in the League Cup, and West Ham went the full Thanos on them, final score 8-0. What does that do to morale for a team whose home draws with Cheltenham and Mansfield, both over a month ago, remain their only points this season? By contrast, Forest Green, they're unbeaten. A lot of draws in that run in the league, but home to Swindon, home to Oldham, away at MK Dons, those are games this side should be losing, and they haven't. So a game like this comes at the right time. Since the last time Macclesfield even got a point in the league, Forest Green have played 5-1-3, drawn 2. Forest Green are 23-20.
That's your lot for the podcast, folks. Thank you, everyone that tuned in and listened. A special thanks to ESPN's senior football writer, Mark Ogden, who can be followed on Twitter at @MarkOgden_. Thanks to Derek McGovern and Alex Dunn for their look at the Premier League. Pete Farries, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross on the Football League, and Sam Norris for his tip in Europe as well. And if you were wondering, the answer to that quiz question. The Austrian goal scorer, the former Wigan and West Brom defender, Paul Scharner. So well done if you got that. Make sure you're back with us for the Pump Podcast. Same time, same place next week. And if you're having a bet on the football this weekend, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.